Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And today here at Locked On Clippers, we're going to be talking a What You Say Wednesday poll. Basically, we wanted to know, do you think the Clippers are contenders, especially after what you've seen so far of the playoffs? And then we're going to be talking about best breakout bench player possibilities. These are chances. These aren't granted, but these are possibilities. And we're also going to talk about some potential backup five. So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome to Locked On Clippers, coming at you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Kill some windshield time with us. For a couple more days, and then we will be off to Clips and Dip on June 1st. So, Wednesdays, we do What You Say Wednesday over here. We ask Clippers fans on Twitter a question. This one, I pretty much knew what the answer was going to be, but I really just wanted to see the dissenting opinions in the comments, and there were a fair amount, which was good. So, the question was, after watching to this point in the playoffs, do you feel the Clippers, quote-unquote, have enough to make the finals next season? 92% of the 556 people voted yes. 8% said no. Will, where would you be in this scenario? I notably left off a maybe option to keep the cowards away.
You got to keep the cowards away. Man, I would say yes. Like, right. Here's the thing. We've seen some great stuff. We've seen some development from some teams that were already kind of scary. Like, I'm thinking most notably, like, maybe the Mavericks in that. Depending on what they
Brunson
do this offseason,
could
be very terrifying. The East to me is still a little bit vague. I mean, you have
so this was just the finals.
I know it's of making the finals. Yeah. Okay, so I'll leave that out of the equation. Yeah. Very fair, very fair.
Because if we get to the finals, who cares? Like, whatever. We made
the Warriors are the Warriors. The only change I really see from this season would be their center rotation. If Looney is out, if Wiseman is, you know, really, really incredible and becomes a better defender.
Yeah.
And then other than that, man, like, the Suns are a good team. They're a deep team. Still up in the air what's going to happen with Ayton. The best that they can do this free agency is remain at stasis with a year older CP3.
Ooh, okay.
So I would have to say yes, man. I would have to say yes. And I do say that with the caveat that I am a fan, obviously a fan, as well as someone who covers this team.
Sure.
But I think that this team, I think that this team could wreck some shit, and they could have, you know, if healthy in this playoffs.
There's no clear dominant force in the West, which is why I would vote yes to. There's no one. You know, it's not.
Has that become clearer to you through these playoffs? Like, that there's not that, you know, there's not that world ender team?
A little bit, but I think we saw it in the regular season too, right? Like, we all, like, when the Suns and Warriors were killing it, it was like, okay, this is pretty crazy. But it didn't exactly feel that they were walking on a tier of basketball that was, like, generationally.
I would say the Suns great. In the regular season was different.
They were very good, but there wasn't anything where it was. To me, again, this is just me personally, there wasn't ever, like, a capital D dominant team that I didn't feel it with the Suns. Maybe that's because I talked a lot of shit on the Suns in the preseason. I didn't want to acknowledge that.
Never lost three in a row.
I know. They're a very good team, but there just wasn't that we'll kick the shit out of you, like, team this year in the playoffs. Like, no one was really, like, rolling heading into the playoffs and things like that. Like, the Grizzlies look great, but I chalk up a lot of this. They're young. Ja already seemingly has some injury stuff, which is brutal. People are starting to hate the Grizzlies. So I think I would vote yes. But to talk to people who voted no, Rob Carve said, I'm stunned so many people think we can beat any of the current playoff teams just because we have Kawhi back. Zoo and Reggie, not our guys for the playoffs. Been great last season, but playoff things are different. See just how play-in worked for us. We should have beaten the Wolves, to be honest. So I think one thing here is that we're also getting Kawhi and PG back.
Yeah.
Paul George played 30 games last year. Like, we didn't – that's a nightmare for the Clippers. So we're getting both those guys back. Zoo and Reggie not being our guys for the playoffs, I think, is where we kind of – you can look at what we talked about yesterday with small ball stuff. Where if you don't think Zoo is the closing center, that's fine because he's never going to be the closing center.
Yeah, look, it's really difficult to have a team with zero positions that another offense can't attack, right?
Exactly. Like, and that's when you get those teams that are like, oh, this team is going to roll and destroy people in the playoffs. That never really happened.
There's not a lot of instances like that. And there's instances where you can do it in a five-man rotation, for sure.
Yeah.
But when you extend that to, the tightest of playoff rotations, let's say a nine-man rotation,
yeah,
that just isn't. That just
eight,
isn't the case.
Tie. Yeah.
That just isn't the case with any team currently as constructed in the West.
Yeah, any of the top teams, it's just they have a guy who can put up 50.
They have a guy who's like a double-edged sword though too, who like you need to play to either like keep your offense going or whatever. But you know, they're either a liability or on the defensive end, or they're, you know, there can be a zero offensively.
Yeah.
So every team, and I say that too, because looking at the teams that we lost to in the play-in, you would expect assuming health though, you would expect at least one of those two teams to be more in the mix outside of a play-in spot next season.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a good
but
call.
I still, you know, like I still would put them in that category of like a team that, you know, has these flaws and we just weren't really able to attack them in a play-in scenario where one of the two games we didn't even have Paul George, both games no Kawhi. And you know, this team,
Norm Powell come back,
look, man, injury. Like,
yeah, no Luke,
this team was speeding with the governor off,
yeah,
you know, for 82 games,
yeah,
and like, you know, it's not always built for longevity when you have to do that.
For sure. DJF Primal says yes, but also no. I feel like we can make one more move to get the right last piece to actually make us that solid. Cam Archer added to this. He said, I feel like whoever they bring in with the Morrison-Kennard swap, which feels inevitable at this point, will ultimately dictate if they're a finals team.
If that's okay, can I say one thing? If that's what this team making the finals depends on, we already lost. It's already over. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Replacing
no,
Morrison Kennard.
I'm sorry. It's already over. If Kawhi plus Paul George plus the cast that we already have around them is not enough.
Yeah.
Plus Norm, you know, throw whatever other great names you want to put in there. Robert Covington, whomever.
Yeah.
If that is not enough and we are still reliant on this extra piece that we don't even know what it is yet,
yeah,
we've already lost.
Yeah,
period.
That's what gets me too, is like, so you can want to move Luke and Morris. I'm totally fine with that. But if you look at this Clippers roster, it's not moving the needle an astronomical amount, right? It's like when we talked about the Gobert thing, where our defense goes from a top five defense to a top two or three defense, which is good to hang your hat on, but it's also, you know, in terms of the time he would command and the offensive thing, there's levels to this. So like, I think we already are a finals team, but I think I agree with that take, is like, if this is what things holding us back, then I don't know, we got to figure out what to do with these $30 million to get someone who can fill their spots. And then Clipper Mitch said, I want us to upgrade our training staff. You see Booker come back from a hammy in three games. Luka strained calf and came back in three games. Embiid from a concussion and broken nose. Okay, also not a broken nose. It was an orbital socket. It's way more intense than a broken nose. And they said at some point it's not just all bad luck. So I agree that it's not all bad luck, but I also agree that these aren't ACL tears.
Yeah.
Kawhi didn't come back because he tore a ligament in his knee. You know, these aren't.
I mean, it's a big time injury. You know, and you know, Jamal Murray's timeline. His injury happened much faster. His return wasn't any faster. You know, they were still without him for an entire season. So, I agree in premise. My thing is like, at least for our top guys,
yeah,
they're getting the second opinion. You know what I mean? Like, right. They're getting the second opinion on this, and probably the third.
It's not Ballmer with a stethoscope gone. and then finally, Clippers content with a fantastic point. Could the Clippers make the finals? And he said, not with everyone falling on each other's legs like that. Credit to Clippers content for the take of the offseason so far. Because
this has been a little bit of a crazy.
I can't imagine what would happen if half of these were happening to people in Clippers uniforms. Ugh, probably another COVID outbreak. It'd be a nightmare. Coming up, we're going to be talking six-man of the Clips possibilities. But first, we have to give a shout-out to Athletic Greens. Will, how would you say that my overall diet is on a scale of pretty healthy to could use some work?
I would say piss poor.
Okay, not. I don't think that was on the scale, but I think people get it. So I use Athletic Greens to kind of offset my other bad eating habits. With AG1, you can get 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports adaptogens. Your gut health. They're the best. Your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things. Get better sleep quality, which is fantastic. I sleep like a well-nourished baby since I've been using AG1. And recovery for sometimes, you know, your night goes a little long. Athletic Greens uses the best of the best products based on the latest science with constant iterations and third-party testing. That's pretty cool. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NBA Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NBA Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Okay, so we're talking six-man of the Clips? Question mark? Chuck, who could be the six-man of the Clips?
This is so up in the air, I think, because a lot of
we don't even know what the starting five is.
Yes, a lot of this hinges on if Norm comes off the bench, right? Because if he comes off the bench, it seems like clear-cut answer, kind of, because then Robert Covington might, by default, be playing a lot of crunch time minutes with Kawhi and Paul George, yeah. Right? So, and then, of course, you have Luke and Terrence and Hart and maybe Batum or Morris. Like, the sixth man of the Clips conversation is a very difficult one to have, which is awesome because we have such a deep team. I think Robert Flom tweeted it out about how there's so many guys we've seen in this playoffs who are contributing minutes for their teams who would not even come close to this Clippers rotation. Guys like Peyton Pritchard, like stuff like that, where it's like these guys who are nowhere near the Clippers rotation. I don't know. Let's start with the Norm thing, right? Like if Norm comes off the bench, he's probably the most important regular season bench guy, right?
Shoo-in for six man of the year. Let's do it.
Oh,
let's
do really?
It. Let's become the place that you come in, you get a six man of the year. And maybe while Kawhi and Paul George are here, you get a little hardware too.
Wait, but do we want to have the sixth man of the year? Don't people not win championships when they have the sixth man of the year?
Not always.
It's close, I think, right? Like,
I think it just depends, right? Because Norm to me is a little bit different because of the two-way ability.
Sure.
Like, whatever you want to say about him as like an overall defender and like maybe he would get targeted a little bit more in a playoff series. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
He is more than the sort of like prototypical six man of the year that we normally nominate, right? Like six man of the year is normally most points off the bench.
Sure.
Period. Like that's what the award
Williams,
is.
Your Williams, your heroes, your Clarksons. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think you have a guy who has a little bit more two-way ability. And to me, I think that that's really interesting.
What if we have another scenario where Norm just starts too many games to win sixth man of the year, which could actually happen with this Clippers roster, which kind of shows how important and how good of a sixth man for the Clippers specifically that he would be. And I think the Roko thing, because I think there's a difference too between, right, like most impactful and highest scorer. Roko is I would maybe argue the most impactful guy off the bench for the Clippers.
Not winning the sixth man of the year.
Not winning sixth man of the year, but maybe sixth man of the Clips.
Sixth man of the Clips, yes, possibly. So I think we have to take one name off this list, and I hate to do it, but it is Mr. Luke Kennard. And Luke Kennard, you and I talked about in his season grade.
Mr. Sixth and sixth man of the year voting, Luke Kennard, or fifth or whatever it was.
Look, Luke Kennard might have reached his ceiling with what he's able to do, not as a player in general, sure, but with what his role is and what he's able to do with this Clippers team. I think that you brought this up and you made an excellent point that like his field goal attempts are not going to go up from what he got last year, if anything, they're going down. You know, like he's not going to be in closing lineups because of defense, which how do closing lineups affect the sixth man of the year award stuff? Because it's not a start. It's a finish. I digress. He will not be any more involved in those. And I think that like what we found good ways to use him this year, which will carry over, but I don't see him. I see him landing lower in the sixth man of the year voting right. than he did this season.
Per 36 will probably stay the same, would be my best guess. I don't know how it gets better after you shoot 45% on the attempts that he had. Terrence Mann, if we have another season, hopefully not, like the one we had this year when we said Terrence Mann was kind of like second place team MVP with how much he just had to do. I think we can cross Terrence off the list too. If Norm comes off the bench.
Yes.
Because if Terrence is first guy off the bench after this full off season and we see him working on stuff and he kind of can bring that chaos Terrence when Paul George is out there, you know, to kind of close out maybe the first quarter or something like that, then I think Terrence can do it. But again, this all comes back to Norm if he comes off the bench or not, which do we want Norm to come off the bench?
We do. We do.
We do.
But before we get back to, before we circle back to Norm, you have one other name on this list.
Oh, yeah. Isaiah Hartenstein.
And Hartenstein is interesting to me because the advanced stats do support his defense.
Sure. The eye test does too.
Yes. Yes. Offensively, some highlights there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if you want to get a little freaky with your vote as a sixth man of the year voter, I think Hart would have to reach another level that he's showed he's capable of, but would have to do it consistently as a playmaker. Yeah. But I think that is like, that's an interesting argument. It's not going to happen. It's not going to say that right now. It's not going to happen.
What if Hart averages 14, 6, and 6?
I mean, I think then it's a possibility. Then it's like
that would be fucking wild.
It's an interesting conversation at that point, you
for
know,
sure.
Because he like, especially if the defense is for real, you know, and he's not, you know, like if he's able to stay on the floor,
be in the conversation for a closing lineup or get actual playoff minutes.
Yeah, well, it's a regular season award, so
but I mean that's the level of the defense that he'd have to be at.
But if he is able to be not even a constant, but at times a piece in the closing of close games and clutch minutes on top of like that 14, 6, and 6, then you start to get really interesting. I don't know. I'm just not seeing that. I think
that's a lot.
I think that's a little I think that's a ways away. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm not seeing that development happening next season.
What if he averages?
So I might have to strike him from the list as well. But I will say, interesting choice. Like if you want to be the voter who is like so smart, they're sitting on their own brain.
Oh, of course,
that's an interesting possibility.
Do we think it's out of the question that Hart could average the Devil's stat line next year? 666. I'm seriously thinking on it because I don't. It's not crazy out of the question if everyone's healthy.
I mean, that's not second. I mean, that's not sixth man of the year numbers.
Oh no, not at all. No, for sure. But it'd be tied if Hart averaged 666. I don't know. And then okay, so real quick.
Anyways, hail Satan. Moving.
Yeah.
On.
Anyway, yeah. Moving. Do we want? So you want Norm off the bench? You want Reggie, PG, Kawhi, whoever at the four, Batum, Morris, maybe Rocco, then Zoo.
Yes. And I actually want Rocco on. I want Rocco on the bench as well.
I want PG and Kawhi to be in whatever positions they're going to play in a closing lineup in the playoffs in the starting lineup. If that's 2 and 3, keep it the way it is. If that's 3 and 4, maybe start Norm next to Reggie. But
that's fair.
If they're not, that's kind of what I'm going with. And I think that's what Tyloo will do too.
I just like the idea of staggering, right? And we've talked about it on this podcast before. Robert Covington is like the most essential to me. Like he's one of the most essential pieces to making Isaiah Hartenstein work in games that I think could matter.
Right. No, I like that idea.
Like just what he can do. And then I like Norm for like this off the bench for the staggering abilities. It's also like, let's just have I mean, that's getting you closer to like what we talked about, like if the Clips, what the Clips need to win a championship. That's getting you a lot closer to like that 8-9 man deep, just like nasty lineups.
That's a good call. Let's know you think about potential 6-man of the year on the Clips. We know what everyone in Ohio thinks. Coming up, we're going to be talking kind of the players traded ratio that we're comfortable with, and then stop gaps if we maybe can't get Hartenstein back. But first, Will, the people have been clamoring for it for one particular part of this. What is your favorite Built Bar, and could you just tell us a bit about it?
Favorite Built Bar flavor is raspberry.
Okay, of course.
It's the best. Mm-hmm. It's so good. I just enjoy the crisp flavor of raspberry. Yep. But look, a lot of Built Bar fans, they're passionate about their favorites. It's already the best tasting protein bar on the market, but they have so many delicious flavors. If you don't know them, you're missing out. They got coconut, cherry, barcia, the aforementioned raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange cookies and cream, and German chocolate. Ooh, yummy. You already know what my favorite flavor is. If you want to find your own, you can get a mix box where you get two of each of the 9 flavors. Look, keep going on about the flavors and the taste. But not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're healthy too. Check out these macros. Each bar has 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. And you should also check out the Puffs. It's the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Not just a protein bar, a protein treat that comes in churro, coconut, and banana cream pie. And right now we have a very special offer for our listeners. If you go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
All right, now that we're built up, we're talking shavings. So this is what I was wondering. If the Clippers do make a trade, what's your most comfortable players traded ratio? Right, so an example is one that I saw. Brogdon for Marcus, Amir, Preston, and a first-round pick. Is 3-1 too much for this roster?
Not if it's only one actual rotation player.
This feels like 1.5.
Next year?
Amir's such a good emergency guy. I'm still so shell-shocked from this last year.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't want to get rid of Amir, but I think
to answer your question, I'm not willing to give up more than 2 rotation pieces.
I think that's very fair.
Not willing to give up more than 2 rotation pieces.
Yeah, that's legit. It would have to be, I mean, this particular deal for Brogdon, absolutely not. I do not want to trade Marcus, Amir, Preston.
Brogdon is not. I'm like, look, I like Brogdon. I like the idea. This is way too much to give up.
I hate the idea. Injured player. Yeah, like this is a nightmare.
No, I don't like the idea of this trade, but I mean, I like the idea of the fit. Like, I like the idea of Brogdon in theory in a world where he's never hurt and, you know, we can get him for a reasonable sum.
I think we all wish there was a world in which we're all never hurt, would be my best guess. Clippers fans would definitely have more fun time. We were just talking about Hartenstein. Let's say disaster strikes and we cannot keep Isaiah Hartenstein. Backup fives. Here's some upcoming free agents. We got JaVale, Deadman, Tristan Thompson, Hassan Whiteside. Someone on Twitter said, after watching the Celtics last night, if I were the Clippers, I'd throw Kennard and a future second for Horford and fully guaranteed Horford's future contracts. I think he has option years. We'd still have Zoo, but playing in the Hartenstein role. So none of this info is actually accurate. Horford will make $26.5 million next season and then just be an unrestricted free agent. And a trade for Horford would have to be Morris. And I actually don't know how this works because both the teams are over the luxury tax. So it would have to be really weird and wonky. And also the Celtics.
You're probably getting like a third team involved. They have no incentive to help the Clippers.
And Horford's been great for them.
Yeah, Horford's had a good postseason. Look, you know me, man. I'm a Horford head. I love Al Horford. Would love
Joseph Fry Award too. He's always wanted. He's wanted Horford for a while.
Yeah, I think if you could have gotten on him when people were super low after Philly, just the hard thing to work out still there though was like the mathematics of the contract. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that makes it difficult, man. I think Yeah, we'll have to see what happens after next season.
Between JaVale,
I think
Dedmon and Tristan.
What's that?
Between JaVale, Dwayne Dedmon, and Tristan Thompson, I want JaVale McGee if we can't get Hartenstein so bad as our back. He's such a good backup center.
Yeah, I think he's good. I think that's a solid option. He's got the experience. I mean, he's up there in years, but like you can keep the minutes low. And he's still incredibly physical.
Yeah. Can spot start, like, has really just become a super crucial piece on kind of any team he's been on recently.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. I think of these names, that's what's the most interesting to me.
Tristan Thompson, I think the LA nightlife would not go well. I think it.
Yeah, I don't get the Tristan Thompson thing. I don't get why we're still trying Tristan Thompson.
People love the rebounding numbers, man. Remember when people would post like how he has like three of the top seven, or no, that's Andre Drummond because he's going to be free agent too. But Drummond was on a list, and it's like I just want a vet center who's like, I'm here to do exactly what the coach wants me to do. that's what we're here to do. It'll be interesting to see. I still think we can keep Hart. I haven't seen any rumors of other teams being super interested in him. I'm sure they are. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Oh, there's definitely got to be some interest out there. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
It'll be interesting to see what he gets thrown at, maybe contract-wise, that the Clippers are going to have.
I think it's going to be a couple of things, right? Because, you know, he hasn't had a big contract, but he's also bounced around the league.
And he's young.
This is a guy who's been on a lot of different teams. Yeah. I think that maybe you can sell him on a role that he can, if he's not ready for now, he can grow into if you have a place carved out for him. And I think that, you know.
Because he's, what, 24? 25?
Yeah, obviously if you get an offer of big money, you should probably take it.
Of course.
Right? Especially as a center in this league. But, you know, things being at least comparable, I think you'd be willing to take a little bit of a pay cut if you're, you know.
You signed a two-year contract.
Nothing is assured with the front office of the Clippers, right? But if you can give a reasonable assurance that, like, you are part of the plan, like, you could stick around on a team and, like, carve out a name for yourself, I do think that is something worth pitching.
Yeah, you, if you're Hart, you sign a two-year deal with the Clippers, you're, what, 26, 27 when it's over? So you're still in line to get a big contract because in terms of physical prime.
One, yeah.
Yada, yada, maybe, all probably that one. Stuff. Yeah. And maybe it's with the Clippers, maybe it's not, but you've shown that you can perform well and be coached on a championship favorite team. So, like,
I was going to say, if you perform well, even in a smaller role on a contender, somebody's going to buck up and pay you.
Yeah, especially with his skill set. Like, he's not doing normal center stuff. Like, there's not, you know what I mean? Like, he's a really good passer. It's going to be interesting to see. Let's hope we can keep Hart. And then closing out the show, yet another friendly reminder that this is our last week here at Locked On Clips.
That's right.
But we're not stopping.
It's coming to an end.
It's coming to an end. You can hear more about our next project over at 213 Hoops. It's called Clips and Dip. It's us and Adam Oslin, the radio god himself, rotating out each day, giving you the Clippers news. Find us on iTunes. Go ahead and search Clips and Dip. Subscribe, leave a review. You'll get a shout out on our first full episode, which comes out on June 1st. So set your calendars. We get a nice little break. It's going to be a good time. Thursday's episode, I'm going to be joined by Carl Tart to talk off-season plans. I'm sure he has creative ideas on ways to get Zubats off the team. We might do a Thirsty Thursday. And, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Will, if someone wanted to review this podcast as well as maybe Clips and Dip, where could they possibly do that?
If you wanted to review this podcast as well as other podcasts these hosts may be on, you can check us out over on Apple Podcasts or the podcast app on your mobile device, also over on Spotify. So you can review us on either one of those platforms. You can listen to us on any platform, including our newest show, Clips and Dip. You can listen to those on, like I said, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever. You can also listen to them on Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, Deezer, anywhere I'm missing. I think that's the... You can listen to it wherever you listen
Santa
to
Santa Anita Park Pods, only available if you're watching a horse race, but we are definitely on there.
Well, you have to have bet as well.
Oh.
Well. There's no freeloading horse watchers over there.
Man, I love Santa Anita Park. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. As always, we appreciate you.